Hi, I'm Marisa McClellan, author of Food in Jars.
And I'm Joy Manning, a writer focused on food and health.
Welcome to Local Mouthful. We're here to talk shop with obsessed home cooks everywhere. This week, we're talking about Instant Pot risotto, Instant Pot quinoa, and how being vaccinated may or may not change our food habits. But first, let's compare notes on something we read this week.
Did you see this interesting essay in Food and Wine about the free donuts?
I read it when you put it in the script, and I thought it was very interesting. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I mean, this seems like it's been all over the place, but for anyone who hasn't heard this yet, Krispy Kreme offered a free donut every day for the rest of the year for anybody showing proof of vaccination. And like this triggered outrage, backlash, fat shaming, doctors saying that people were going to gain weight. And it was all a little bit much. I mean, as we discussed last week, like I definitely try to maintain healthy habits and maintain a healthy weight. But every registered dietitian I've ever talked to says you can definitely have like one small to moderate treat per day and have it not be any kind of like, you know, have it not be ruinous to your healthy diet. So like if you're choosing a donut, to me, that's like, and if you're, especially if you're replacing it with another treat that you might have otherwise had, like it's a wash. A donut is actually under 200 calories, which Weight Watchers frozen desserts are more. So there's that part of it that I thought was kind of ridiculous.
I was really interested in how she used it to tease out like all of these issues about how like, you know, comparing your post-pandemic body to your beach body and like,
right.
To me, it was a very interesting article that just really tried to shine light on what a disordered relationship America as a whole has with food and how this donut situation isn't really, it's really not about the donuts. It's about how screwed up our relationship is more generally with food.
Right, right. Let me read. I actually put, she used a quote from a dietitian who's actually based here in Philadelphia. Her name is Sarah Kelly. And what she said was, you know, we're being cooped up in our homes and stressed all the time. And there's an absolute failure of our government to take care of us in any real way. A lot of people aren't feeling their best physically. The only messaging our society has for that situation is, oh, I need to lose weight. And that is the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mainly wanted to share. It's a lot to talk about and unpack, but I mainly just wanted to share it so that other people could read it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I also, you know, it brought up all those issues around the fact that if someone is in a fat body, they're less likely to get good medical care, and doctors are always, you know, quick to blame the size of their body on any pain or problems they might have. I just wanted to say I had a doctor's appointment a couple weeks ago, and it was the first time in my life, or at least in my adult life since I've been, you know, 13, where mm-hmm. my doctor didn't make me feel bad about my weight. And it was shocking in its absence.
Why do you think that is? Is it because you weigh less? Do you have a new doctor? Like,
it's a new doctor. I weigh less than I have at any point in my adult life, thanks to nursing twins. And I don't know why else. Like, I mean, I'm still, you know, on the BMI spectrum. I'm certainly not, you know, I'm certainly considered overweight, but it was such a breath of fresh air to not be made to feel bad.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's the only lens that most doctors can use to look at yeah. weight. And I've always been like, I've always been on the overweight spectrum of, you know, the BMI scale.
Yeah.
And that has ranged from, I've had, like, when my high cholesterol was first diagnosed, the only advice the doctor had for me was to lose weight. And I remember saying to her, I don't know if I can lose weight or not, but I can definitely change what I eat.
Yeah.
And she's like, if you change what you eat, you'll lose weight. And I thought, not necessarily.
Yeah, totally.
And then I remember when I was somewhat younger, I had a string of terrible gynecologists. And one of them, you know how when you go for your annual exam, they try to like feel your ovaries and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And she says to me, she literally was like, you have too much fat in this part of your body. I can't feel your ovaries. You'll have to go for it. Ultrasound.
Oh my God.
I was like, and I mean, seriously, I was maybe 15 pounds overweight at the time. There's a lot to unpack in this article.
Yeah, we need a book club for this article. We'll make sure to put the link in the show notes so everybody can read it if they want to. And if you can't get to the show notes, just search "free donuts were never the problem" for food and wine.
So what's for dinner in your house?
Yes. So I have returned this last week to an old standby and was again reminded how easy and approachable and delicious it is. And that is Instant Pot risotto. If you have never made risotto in Instant Pot and you have any sort of doubts or qualms that you won't get a really rich, delicious, creamy risotto, let me tell you, it works every time. It's always lush and you hardly need any fat to make it sort of delicious and creamy and wonderful. So I know we've talked about this before. I don't know. I looked back at our past scripts and I couldn't find us actually going through it step by step. And so I'm just going to go through it real quickly. So you start with, and you can use any, you know, electric pressure cooker that you have. So it doesn't have to be an Instant Pot. But you, whichever device you have, you set it to saute and you add a tablespoon. This is how I do it. You add a tablespoon of olive oil, a chopped up onion, 3 or 4 garlic cloves, and, you know, just stir it, let that kind of get a tiny bit of color. And it's not even really color you're going for. You're just going for softening and translucent onions more. And then once that's cooked for a couple of minutes, you add your arborio rice, cannaroli, whatever is your preferred risotto rice. I use 1 3/4 cups. And just so you know, the technique I'm talking through is borrowed from an article from the Washington Post that we'll link to. I kind of just make it a little easier, reduce the ingredients. I don't use wine. And that's where I kind of borrow the technique from. And then get your rice kind of coated in the oil mixed up with the onions and the garlic. And then you add your broth. And I like to use hot broth. I use reconstituted better than bouillon, so I don't add any additional salt. And so I just use 4 1/3 cups hot broth, pour it in, lock on the lid, switch from saute to pressure cook, and cook it for 6 minutes on high pressure. When the time is up, you should stay in the kitchen, and it comes up to pressure pretty quickly because of the hot broth. So once the 6 minutes are up, you want to do a manual release so that it doesn't keep cooking as it releases slowly. And then once all the pressure is released, you take the lid off, you stir in a cup of frozen peas, I use 2 tablespoons, but you could go up to 4 tablespoons of like grated Parmesan cheese or Pecorino Romano, and stir it up. The heat of the rice defrosts the peas, and you're done.
That's pretty close to how I do it. I cook it for 7 minutes, but I don't start with hot broth.
Yeah. The hot broth, and I always start with hot broth because I almost always use reconstituted better than bouillon. Sometimes I use, if I have some, I'm totally out, but you know, I used to make that vegetable broth kind of concentrate.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I've made it with that in the past, and that's really great because you get that, it just makes it a little vegetal flavor. But I'm really out and I have not had the time to make any more. So I'm never using homemade stock or like box stock because those aren't things that I typically have around.
You know who makes a jarred vegetable base that reminds me of your homemade base that you used to make? Penzies.
Really?
Yeah. It's packaged like better than bouillon, but it's you know, I like better than bouillon's unchicken and Penzies vegetable. Vegetable is obviously has more pronounced vegetal flavor, but
yeah, I'll have to look at that. No, that sounds great.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, today's episode is going to be an accidental Instant Pot episode because I was making tons of batches of quinoa in my Instant Pot last week.
Tell me more.
You know how I feel about quinoa. I think all listeners of Local Mouthful understand my point of view on this, but let me just recap. 90 to 99% of recipes you see for quinoa are wrong. They call for too much water. you end up with soggy, clumpy quinoa. And this is why most people don't like quinoa. Just to remind you, a lot of recipes call for one part quinoa to two parts water. That's insanity. If you're cooking it on the stovetop, you want to go with one cup quinoa to 1.5 cups water max, depending on how low you can get your stovetop. But in the Instant Pot, since there is no evaporation of the water,
yeah,
you use 1 cup quinoa to 3/4 cup water.
Whoa!
And you get an incredibly fluffy, ideal quinoa. I was so excited.
Bold, Joy.
I think that this all happened because, like, I was trying to make a quick lunch.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sort of experimenting. So I did 1-to-1 in the Instant Pot and I brought it up to high pressure for 1 minute and then let it stand for 12 minutes. And when it was done, it had, you know, it was wetter than I wanted it to be. So I put it on the keep warm mode with the lid off, and I just kept stirring it until the liquid was evaporated and the quinoa was dry, which is a perfectly fine way to do it. But as my obsession with this wore on throughout the week, I hit upon what I find to be the perfect way to do it, which is 1 cup quinoa, 3/4 cup water, 1/4 teaspoon salt, 1 minute on high pressure, let stand 12 minutes. Then you have quinoa. It's good to go.
Wow.
It really makes it easy.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I was thinking that, like, you could make it more complicated by toasting your quinoa first. That would maybe give you something more nutty. But for my purposes, like, this is terrific. I like quinoa for fast lunches because I feel like quinoa almost unto itself is a complete meal.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little boring, but it's certainly satisfying and filling and full of protein and fiber.
Right. I guess I mean nutritionally. So, like, yes, if you just add a little bit of, like, chopped salad stuff to it or, like, canned chickpeas or what have you. I served it with soy curls for lunch that day that I mentioned. But I also personally love quinoa for breakfast.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever eaten it for breakfast.
Like, cold with soy milk and maple syrup and maybe some sliced almonds in it. It's really good.
It does sound good.
And it is full of protein. It's high in fiber. It's, like, pretty much, it's kind of, like, up there with kale in terms of, like, the go-to health foods.
No, it sounds great.
This is really not that exciting of a topic, as you can hear. It's very, very simple. But I just wanted to lay it out there because it has really changed my quinoa making life. It's so, like, fuss-free that now I know I'm going to always have it on hand. It's just a breeze.
So you do it 1 minute on high pressure, and are you letting it come down naturally? And if it hasn't come down naturally after 12 minutes, you release the last of the pressure?
It does down naturally.
Okay.
I can't imagine because there's so little water in there. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I have not had to release the pressure, though. I guess I would if that happened. Yeah, just leave it. I usually will set an alarm on my phone. What do you call it? A timer on my phone. Or if I'm in the kitchen, I just watch the, you know how the Instant Pot tells you how many minutes it's been since the program you ran was over.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's really, I think it's going to make quinoa a bigger staple for me, which I really enjoy. Quinoa is one of those things I'm just always thinking I should eat more of. And it is versatile. You can throw it into salad. As I mentioned, it's great for breakfast. You can put it into baked goods. Like, I have a recipe kicking around somewhere for quinoa pancakes. And as we discussed on a recent episode, it's like a super wonderful salad. Like,
yeah, it makes a good fritter.
Yes.
Mixed with, like, some vegetables and binding agents.
So now I'm going to be part of the Quinoa Every Week Club. And I definitely encourage everybody to give it a try because it's so simple and just like, you know, it's really like a set it and forget it kind of thing. It requires nothing from you.
That's great.
So take that micro recipe and put it in your pocket and come back to me and tell me all the ways you used your quinoa. And then make risotto for dinner. Really give your Instant Pot a workout.
My Instant Pot has not left my countertop in a couple of weeks because every time it's clean and I'm ready to put it away, I think, oh, I'm about to use it again.
Some people have two Instant Pots or even two Inner Pots for their Instant Pots. They can be doing multiple things.
Wow.
Those people are very dedicated to their appliance.
So should we switch gears and talk about I know we I feel like we talk about grocery shopping and food habits a lot, but
Well, did you know this is a home cooking podcast?
yes, I did. And so I was going to say it's appropriate because that's our bread and butter, literally. Like this is what I think about all the time, and I know you do too. But you raised this topic, and I think it's a really interesting one about, are our food and grocery shopping habits changing or not changing now that we're both fully vaccinated? And I'd
It's
love to
only
hear what you,
been
yeah.
a few days.
It's true.
Have you done anything differently that you wouldn't have done before?
Not yet. I mean, I went out by myself yesterday morning and went to a couple thrift stores, but that's not grocery habits. That's simply finally feeling comfortable to go into a store that's not totally necessary.
Right, that's definitely on my list of things to do as well. Because, I mean, and this is, again, not about food, but I look at my clothes in my closet and I think to myself, whose clothes are they? That just doesn't seem like something I would have ever picked out for myself. Because, there's
That's
sweaters I didn't wear all winter, pants. Like, I put on a pair of black pants one day and I was like, whose are these? Like, why? I don't even like these. Anyway,
That's
I
very funny.
digress. I'm just saying, I want to go to the thrift stores too.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I didn't get much for myself, but I got stuff for the boys. I got some books, I got some toys, I got some kitchen stuff. It was fruitful.
Was it fun?
It was really fun. It felt like getting back to myself, which sounds crazy that a trip to a thrift store would make me feel like, well, oh, I'm back. I'm back to myself. But it did. So it
No,
was
I hear
nice.
you. I went to the grocery store yesterday, the South Philly Food Co-op, and I've been there a few times, but this was the first time I went food shopping in a grocery store and didn't feel like pressure to get in and out as quickly as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And also like with the thought that I'm not going to be back here for a long time. So it was so much more pleasant. I really browsed the aisles. I picked up stuff that I didn't plan to buy. I felt like it was the first time I had a chance to really take in everything that they have there. And I came back and it was like I was high.
Yeah.
It was so nice. And then this weekend was my mother-in-law's birthday. So Dan and I went there to her house for lunch, where we had lunch inside without masks.
Oh my God.
She's vaccinated. We're vaccinated.
Yeah.
I was like, it was weird. It was amazing. It was the first time I shared a meal with someone not Dan. And
Yeah.
I mean, last summer I went on a picnic with my sister and her husband and my niece. So like, I think that's the only other time I've like shared a meal with anybody during this pandemic.
Yeah, but even then, you guys were on separate blankets and brought your own food, right?
I brought food for everybody, but I packed it up, for them and for
Yeah.
me. And then today, my mom and my sister and my niece are coming here for dinner. So it'll be the first time I'm having anybody in my house, in like 13 months.
Wow.
The last time I had the Manning Morgans here for dinner was March 15th. It already felt ill-advised and anxious.
Yeah.
I remember hugging them when they left and thinking, I wonder if I probably should not have done that. But I mean, in retrospect, I'm glad I did because that was the last time I would get to hug them until today.
Yeah, wow.
So that's big. To me, that is huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
What about you? Do you feel like you can, would you come over to my house for lunch?
Yes, I would come over to your house for lunch. When you posted this topic in our, in the script, and I thought was thinking about it, I feel like I will be much more comfortable, eating it, sharing meals with people in small groups, knowing everyone is vaccinated in people's homes or in yards, things like that. I still don't think that it's going to be a long time before I feel comfortable eating in a restaurant.
Right. I don't plan to go back to restaurants anytime soon.
And we haven't done any like outdoor dining or anything either. There's so many restaurant pods, outside structures in my neighborhood for the various restaurants. And even that feels uncomfortable to me still.
It looks so, like it's basically inside. I don't understand all that.
A lot of them are open on they're closed off on three sides and open on one. So like they're open to the sidewalk so servers can serve them, but like they're dividers in between the diners and the street. So some of them do look like little houses. You know, there's so many in my neighborhood. It's interesting to walk around and see all the different ways that various restaurants have approached creating their pods.
Right. When I was walking to the South Philly Co-op yesterday, it was Saturday. It was brunch time. And all the restaurants on East Passyunk Avenue had tons of people eating on the sidewalks. Some in tight enclosures that to me look like de facto inside. Sometimes some of them open to the air. But my main thought was like, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, no.
And part of it is like, I feel pretty safe being vaccinated. But if I'm going to go out to a restaurant, especially like a restaurant that's maybe like a celebration restaurant for a birthday or something, I don't really want to be wearing masks. That doesn't feel fun to me.
No. And, you know, I certainly, when it comes to restaurants, I have the added complication of two small children. So restaurants probably weren't in the cards for me much these days anyway, but there's no way that I would feel comfortable because they can't be vaccinated. There's talk of vaccines being available for children over 6 months old by early 2022. So that's still a year from now before there's any possibility that my kids can be vaccinated.
Right.
So it just feels, you know, ill-advised to put them in any kind of situation where they could be exposed. I don't want that on my head. But I think it's interesting to talk, you know, that we should talk a little bit about the habits that are going to stick around. So for me, one habit I think that is going to stick around is just more home cooking. I know I cooked a lot before the pandemic, but like I would treat myself to lunch out on a fairly regular basis. Like if I had a babysitter or before the boys were born, you know, there were lots of, you know, meals and like I'd go to a coffee shop and work and get a bagel and coffee. Like so much of that is gone from my life. And I don't know when that'll come back, if it ever will, because, you know, I feel like I feel better eating food I cook at home most of the time.
Yeah. One thing I've been thinking about as we contemplate an eventual return to restaurants is like having a personal moratorium on fried food.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. I seem to do best when I have black and white rules.
Yes, I've noticed this about you.
And fried food is the most aggressively unhealthy thing that remains in my diet.
Are you frying at home or are you talking
about
occasional times you get takeout?
Well, I mean, back in the before times, like the times that I went to restaurants and ate fried food were not so occasional.
Mm.
So I don't know. Yeah. I was talking to Dan about this and he was like, you can't give up everything.
I'm trying to think when the last time I maybe had, I had falafel. I think at this point in my life, the bulk of my fried food comes from the occasional falafel platter that I get at like our corner store or one of the street carts on Market Street.
Mm-hmm. I do love me some French fries. There's like, I don't know, usually low quality oils involved that like maybe hasn't been changed enough. And I don't know. It's just a thought. That's when I'm thinking about things I'm going to keep. Maybe I'm going to keep this no fried foods thing going. There's going to be a birthday party in my family coming up in July. My mom, on the small side, definitely like under 30 people, I think, at a restaurant. And my mom was like, do you think you'll go? And at first I was like, of course. And then I was like, wait, is it inside or outside? Is everybody invited, vaccinated? And I was like, I actually don't know. It's hard to say what it's going to be like in restaurants. Dan's birthday is in August. I'm hoping we can go to our restaurant for his birthday. But that might be overly optimistic.
Definitely not by the time our birthdays roll around.
No, but I do feel happy in that I can get together with some people inside.
Yeah, that'll be good.
So, what else? Anything else you want to keep?
I think the only other thing is that I've done a really good job of keeping staples and basics and always having, components to meals that are pretty easy to put together. And I'm going to keep that. So, like, I've been pretty good about keeping proteins in the freezer that I want to have around, or always having some tofu in the fridge. And thanks to grocery delivery, I've always had lots of vegetables. And that has certainly made cooking easier. Even if it's just like, okay, I'm going to roast these three vegetables and defrost some chicken sticks, being able to set dinner on sort of an automatic pilot like that has been really nice. And so I'm going to keep up that habit. And, that might also have been a change that would come because of children anyway, but my pandemic experience and my parenting experience are so tightly bound that it's hard to tease out which one, what are the changes that would have come been born out of parenthood, and what are the changes that are born from the pandemic sometimes?
The boys were only about 6 months old when the pandemic hit, right?
Eight. They had just turned 8 months
Okay.
old. So, like, they weren't walking, they were still babies. They had just learned to, sit up on their own, and the pandemic hit. And now they are people who talk and run and, express preferences.
Wild.
So yeah, it's really been, a critical period of their growing up has been pandemic time.
You'll probably have a whole different aspect to your transition to post-pandemic life with all that.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing I'm really looking forward to is being able to record with you in person again. I know it's
I
dependent on
know.
childcare.
I know. I'm really excited about that.
That'll be so great.
Oh,
I'm grateful we've had the tech tools to keep this going. But it's so much better in person.
definitely. All right. We should probably hear about what you're loving before we run out of time.
Okay. If you were at our last Patreon coffee meetup, you heard me talk about wanting to have a rolly cart, a granny cart for my future post-vaccination shopping excursions, and I had some great things recommend it. Dan, of course, took it on as a research project, and he found me the ultimate rolling grocery cart. It's a Rolzer brand, which is made in, I think, Spain. And it's like, I used it to go to the co-op yesterday, and it just made the whole experience so great because I didn't have to worry about overloading my weak shoulders, you know? I didn't
Yeah.
think, can I really carry that? Will that fit? So I got like a giant growler of Baba's Brew. I got several big cans of tomatoes. It made it so nice. And this thing, it rolls up and then you hang it on your cart while you shop.
Oh, wow. Which one
That's
did you get?
really,
I'm looking at the website.
it's called Rolzer. I can't remember the exact model. I'll add it to the show notes.
Okay.
I got one that has like a recycled fabric bag. But the thing that is so cool about it is well, it has a sturdy bottom, so like that feels very secure when you put your stuff in it. And then the fact that you can easily roll it up and hang it on your grocery cart while you shop was like amazing. And then it has, to me, the wheels are just the right size. It's good for navigating up steps. It has a really smooth roll. I don't know. I felt like $1 million. I felt like I figured something major out yesterday when I was
I will
shopping with it.
say, I have long been on Team Granny Cart, and this one looks great. I love the one I have. I have Oh, I can't remember the name right
The
now. I'll send.
VersaCart.
Yeah, I have the VersaCart, and that one's great, especially for if I'm like I use it not only to go to the grocery store, but because I live in an apartment building, I take it with me when I go grocery shopping in the car, and then use it to get my stuff from the car to my apartment, which is also nice.
So again, I'll post the one that I got in the show notes, and I'll post a link to the VersaCart as well. Thank you for everyone that advised me when we talked about this, and it is game changing for if you live in an urban environment and go back and forth to the grocery store on foot. I can't believe I didn't have one till now.
I can't believe you've lived in South Philly for so long. It's like a vital piece of South Philly equipment, I feel like.
True, that's true. Well, now I've got it.
Hooray!
And I think that does it for this week's episode of Local Mouthful. Our thanks go out to Dan Call for editing the show, to Saul Rosenbaum for designing our logo, and to Raina Rose for providing the music. And thank you for listening. If you like what you hear,
Make sure to subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Local Mouthful. Sign up for our newsletter, catch up on past episodes, and check out our show notes at localmouthful.com. Until next time, happy eating.